This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. We got a very special show. We got
a very special
guest. We got a football. We got a real game to talk about. So it's going to be a great show. Thanks for tuning in with us. Chim, you want to hit us with the ad?
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting, your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're there 24/7. So we got a very special guest on the show today. One of our guys played wide receiver at Ohio State with us. Third-round pick to the Houston Texans, playing 9 years of professional ball, Grey Cup MVP, 100-yard play in the snow, championship winner, Devere Posey. Man, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man. Excited to talk some Buckeyes and life with y'all, man.
I'm going to add to the intro, man. People ask me, who's the toughest? Who's the toughest guy that I went against in college? And every time I think about it, I'm like, man, for real, the toughest guy I went against in college as a receiver was on my team, man. Devere was one of the toughest guys I would go against day in and day out.
Man, I appreciate that. Yeah, we had some battles, man. Yeah, we had battles, bro. And me and B, man, that's we had a lot of long drives together in the huddle looking at each other tired, man. We got blood, sweat, and tears. Man, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. We always got the job done. But like I said, on the show today, we get to talk about football. The season has kicked off. The Buckeyes go on the road to the Indiana Hoosiers, man. They get the victory. We get the win. So overall, we just wanted to start off with some positives, man. Like I said, we only gave up 3 points as a defense, man. What do we see out of our defense that we want to highlight as far as guys, plays? You know, the very first, just give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, man, I think that the DBs played extremely well. I thought, I mean, Tim, and you noticed when you a cornerback and your name getting called all the time, you're not having a good game. Yeah. We didn't speak much about Denzel Burke at all during that game, and I thought that that meant a solid performance from him. Igbinosa, number one, wearing that number one out there. I thought he was physical. I thought he was active. Sonny Styles. I was impressed with Josh Proctor. I thought that he really played well. In the back end, I thought he just brought some juice. And then, man, when it really come down to the defense for me, I'll be honest, my prediction for the Lombardi Award winner, I think Tommy Eichenberg is going to mess around and be a first-round pick, man. This dude is in every frame, y'all. Like if it's a pass, he in the frame. If it's a run, he's in the frame. You see 35 getting up off of the ground. And for me, like, I just really think he's special, man. He's reminiscent of the AJ Hawks, the Bobby Carpenters, the Laronitis, the Raekwon McMillans. Like, he's gonna fall into those Ohio State lore line in that linebacker room. I really think he's a dude, man. So I really like that. And obviously the D line, man. The D line was active. Mike Hall was active. JT Tuimoloau was active. I thought Jack Sawyer got some great pressure too as well, man. And I mean, bottom line, I think the silver bullets are back, man. Like, those boys look good to me.
Yeah, I thought overall they held it down. I thought, you know, what I saw was speed, like, fast. And, you know, going into the year, obviously there was a lot of questions about the defense, how they performed last year. And my biggest question was, or the things that I didn't really like last year, is I feel like they didn't anticipate a lot. Or they didn't communicate well pre-snap to know what they were getting. In this game, I saw a lot more communication. I saw a lot more anticipation, and it allowed them to play fast. You saw more guys getting their hands on balls as defensive backs. Denzel Burke had a great game, but all of the safety, Sonny Styles pursuing the ball. You mentioned Proctor, who I thought had a great game, always around the ball. A guy like Malik Harford coming in, getting his hands on the ball as well. I'm excited about the defense overall. I thought they had a solid game. They really held it down for the entire game.
Yeah, and I like to start out there, like, you know, they only allowed 3 points. If you think about it, Indiana had all offseason, all coming into this year to figure out who they wanted to be on offense to kind of generate points. They had a lot of time to figure that out. And they kind of go out there, and, you know, historically, Indiana kind of played more like a spread type of offense. And they got into the game, they basically saw like a triple option, right? They kind of, you know, triple option type of deal. And the Ohio State, it didn't faze them. Like, they knew their keys, they knew their guys were. They stuck to it and was able to go out there and only allow 3 points. So I thought that was pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
No, and another positive spot was the kicker. yeah. You know, the kicker went out there and went 3 for 3. Went 3 for 3. So we're talking about the things that we like, you know, some of the good things out there. Obviously, the kicking game was solid. Not necessarily punt or kickoff.
Return, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, to be able to go out there and be 100% as a kicker, that was solid as well.
And let's talk about why that's important, right? Our season literally ends with a missed field goal, right? It literally ends with a missed field goal last year. Coming into this year, we obviously, you know, nothing real long, right? I don't think it was no 50-plusers. But, you know, without your kicker, you just really want them to be consistent and make the ones that you can make. And once again, Big Ten on the road, game one, goes out there, go 3 for 3. Definitely had a very solid performance. So, you know, kudos to that. I think that's something you could definitely hang your hat on. So after this game, there's a lot of things that we feel that we could probably need to improve on if we want to have that season that we think we want to have or we should have with the talented group of guys that we have around. I mean, did you guys see it that way? Are you guys satisfied with the performance? Or what's your guys' thoughts?
I personally feel like defensively, that's what we're going to get defensively. We're going to be stout. We're going to stop the run. We're going to know our assignments. And like Tim said, we're going to be able to play faster being in Jim Knowles' system for our second year. Like, those guys can notice things. Like, so have you guys ever seen the program with Alvin Mack? It's one of my favorite college football movies of all time. Right?
Like,
Alvin Mack is going through that pregame film session, I imagine Tommy Eichenberg like that in Jim Knowles' second year. Like, Alvin, Tommy, what's your job on this? Kill everybody. You know what I mean? Oh, check the tight end. Like they know their assignment. And so I feel like defensively we should get that. Offensively, I feel like Ryan Day picked a style of play. For me, B, it looked familiar to us. Like, it looked like the good old-fashioned trestle ball where we in two tights a lot. We in 3 receivers, 4 receivers, barely. But we in a big personnel. We got the backs. We got Boom. We got Beanie. We got B. Sane to run the wall. We got Mayan. We got Chip. We got Travion to move the ball. We got Jake Ballard. We got a Cade Stover. You know what I mean? Then you got the receivers that can get open in man coverage when they get that opportunity. And I just feel like if the Buckeye faithful is okay with sacrificing stats and individual glory, where we're used to seeing with the first-round quarterbacks that we've had. I mean, let's just be honest, man. Like, a string of first-round quarterbacks in Ohio State history is an anomaly. From, you know, Haskins to Fields to CJ. That's crazy. We were spoiled. And so we can't expect McCord or Devin Brown to be those guys. I mean, I felt like, y'all, it was a familiar style of offense, man. You got – you know, we used to seeing, you know, Beanie, Boom, Zoom, Baron the Same. You got Mayan, you got Chip Traynham, you got Travion Henderson, and then you got Jake Ballard, too. But last Saturday, it was Cade Stover. This style of offense looked very familiar to me. I know it looked familiar to y'all. It was pretty safe. And I just think, as Buckeye faithful, if we can be patient, this style beat Michigan consecutively over and over and over again, right? It's not gonna, you're not gonna kill the stat sheets, but you're gonna win a lot of football games when you got a stout defense and you control the clock, you have long drives, and you don't turn the ball over. We can play safe. And then when we really need to go in that trick bag with all the talent we have, man, there's so much depth. We could really just open it up. And I really think Ryan Day can just play with people, y'all. Like, he can show them this style 1 week. He can go to a zone read next week with Devin. He can go to 4 wides. He can put David Johnson at running back. Like, man, the plethora of things this dude can do, I'm fine with that. I didn't want him to show too much in this Indiana game. Man, we got two games where we should win, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky. Open that playbook up when Notre Dame come. Let that talent out when Notre Dame come. So I'm fine with it. I was kind of sleepy, though.
But see, so this is the thing to me. This is the thing. When you have a guy like CJ Stroud at quarterback, that becomes your identity. That's your foundation. So if he throws the ball 50 times and he gets the ball to everybody, that's who we are. Mm-hmm. Then when you don't have that guy, and honestly, you don't even know who the guy is going to be moving forward, it's like, what is your identity going to be now? What is your foundation going to be? And when you got the guys at every single position, you still got to pick a main thing. Like, you still got to do it, right? You still got to pick a main thing. And if your foundation can be, you know, we can line up, we can run downhill if we need to, and we can get 2 yards, we can get 3, we can get 4 yards. Mm-hmm. And we can always do that. Now, we still have everybody else. If we need to open it up, then they don't know what we're going to do, right? If we throw the ball 50 times, they know. Like, you, as a defensive back, you throw the ball 50 times, you throw the ball 30 times a game. We got every single play you do. We know how to attack you. We understand what you're trying to do. And when you got CJ, it's like, all right, don't matter. We still going to beat you because y'all can't stop everything. But if you can't deliver the same way from a quarterback standpoint, it's better off. You're better off continuing to build this thing week by week and improve, set the foundation, improve every week. And you know you can go into that bag. As you mentioned, you know you can go into that bag, and you know you got the guys on the outside to make it happen. So I'm fine with it, right? Understand that this is game one. This is week one. This ain't going into Michigan, right? You're building up and working up and towards that. Obviously, there's a lot of room to improve, but
And Jim, the last thing we saw was Georgia, so we thinking we about to get that on set.
Right.
No, that game plan was so special. That Georgia game plan, we're not gonna see that week one, right? Like, and we don't got the Houston Texans starting quarterback either. So I'm with you on that, man. And we got to establish what we do. I agree.
And when you think about it, when it really come down to it, this being frank, I mean, obviously the game was 7-3 at halftime, but there was no point in the game where Indiana tied us or took the lead, right? So when it come down to it, we really no huge threat of us ever really losing that game. But you know, obviously, we some things we need to improve on, and I must say, like we just said, we want to be a team that we could kind of get 2 yards when we know we need 2 yards. And I feel like one of the huge things that we do need to improve is up front in the offensive line. Now, obviously, I'm a former offensive line guy. Back, like you said, with Trestle Ball, it was power. Power was our play. We was gonna run power to the left, to the right, no matter what. No matter the look, no matter how many people in the box, if we knew we needed a couple yards, we knew we always could kind of go to this play and get it done. And Ohio State kind of struggled with that. I think early on, we tried 3rd-and-2. We get Travion blew up in the backfield or right at the line of scrimmage. On that play. A couple other short yardage situations where we really didn't execute in the run game. And be frank, we have to be better. Like we said, if we're going to be a team that's going to hang our hat on those things, 3rd-and-2, you know, a good percentage of time, we should be able to just hand the ball to the running back and get that job done.
Well, let me ask you, though. We have to be better. And there's a lot of criticism about the offensive line play right now. Is the criticism warranted? Like, where do we have to be better at? That's really my question.
Yeah, so I would say a couple of things. And be frank, I kind of looked at things a couple of times. To be frank, I looked at the good plays, and I looked at the ones that where it's like, okay, this guy's free in the hole. We got a free hitter in the hole. Like, what is going on? And I'll say Indiana did some good things scheme-wise. They did a good job at basically just putting guys on the line of scrimmage. And just so you have to account for them, because football 101 says at least block the people at the line of scrimmage, and then the running back can make the second-level miss. But scheme-wise, they're doing that for a reason. Indiana had a guy in the middle of the field, number 44, Aaron Casey, who's I believe is a 6-year senior at Indiana. Had 10 tackles against Ohio State last year. I think 10-plus this year as well. So they learned this scheme, and you probably put all these people in a lot of scrimmage, and then no one blocks the Mike linebacker. Like, who got the Mike linebacker? And you don't know. Everybody's on the line trying to get the guy that's in front of them, and you work in a double team, and you just miss this guy. He's running free, and he got free hits on our back. So that comes down to simple one thing, the point. Who does the center? So in any scheme, you kind of want to identify who's the Mike linebacker, and you know per play. We got the Mike as the offensive line, or the fullback has the Mike, or the running back has the Mike, or someone else has the Mike linebacker in this particular play, or wherever linebacker it is for this particular play. And it looks like we just wasn't really identifying the guy. We get in contact with the defensive lineman. We get some movement. No one identifies the Mike. He's running free, and he's hitting our guys in the backfield. And you kind of seen that throughout the game. or off the line kind of looked at several positions where it just wasn't clear. They didn't appear to be clear on exactly who they had due to the look that the defense was giving them. And that just kind of, that's going to fall back on coaching. You got to get into the room, look at it. Hey, this is the look they gave us. This is what we did. This is what we should do. It might come to leaving the guy off free on the backside of the edge so we can make sure we got enough bodies to get the guy in the middle. But so, you got to hit the film to kind of pick that up.
So, B, let me ask you, from an offensive lineman standpoint, now, I don't think that it's fair to really put that mic point on that center who's starting his first game, too. And I'm not pointing a finger here.
Yeah.
No pun intended, because we're talking mic point. But what I'm saying is like, is that the inexperience of the quarterback? You know what I mean? Is that truly understanding? Hey, 50's the mic, 44 is the mic.
Yeah.
You know, you know, we down. And so helping identifying the mic is a big thing, you know, in protection. So I want to ask you, is it on the quarterback as well, too?
So, actually, we play a lot of ball, a lot of pro ball, right? As an offense, the job fluctuates, right? You get a certain offense, you got a quarterback that's a veteran that's been there for a while that really understands the playbook. Yeah, we'll let the quarterback make your mic point. You get in certain offenses where the quarterback is a little bit younger, we got a little bit more experience at the center position, we'll let the center make that point call. Preferably, you like the quarterback to do it because he's standing up, he can just see more.
Yeah.
On the college level, our centers made that point, and the pro level, I've seen, like I say, kind of vice versa, depending on the personnel. I'm assuming that's the center job to make that point. I also assume that he didn't make the point wrong. He probably went out there and identified it. But once again, I would say that due to the scheme that Indiana was running, so many people at the line of scrimmage, it could just throw off, hey, look, 44 is the mic here. But everybody's like, well, I got to go in my gap on the line of scrimmage. I got to take this guy here. And no one scheme-wise understand, like, we got to go through this guy. Because we got to get a hat on the mic backer. If not, it's going to be a tackle for loss, as we've seen a couple of times on Saturday. So
that's great. That's amazing, man.
The big question becomes, you know, moving forward, is that something that's easily correctable? Or, you know, what did we see in this game that's really just – it might be a problem. It might always be a problem when it comes to being able to block and hold up front.
I mean, to be honest, you know, I'm pretty usually nice to our guys, but I'm going to have to be a little bit more critical on our tight ends. And obviously, I would say Kay Stover is one of our offensive MVPs, right? He had almost 100 yards receiving. G. Scott got in the game, and he made some plays as well, and also they play a third tight end, Joe Rover, who's more of just a blocking tight end. When I see him in the game, he's usually blocking. But to be frank, we need a little bit more out of the blocking, I would say, out of our tight ends that play the most. When I talk about K and G. G and his opportunity, I see him get locked onto some guys and try to get a move. To be honest, I believe it's highlights of it, Frank. So I believe that, you know, you've seen a couple of times where K was either moving to the point where the ball was going or at the point at the snap. And be frank, he just, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it just didn't happen and he didn't win that block, or he missed the block essentially, you know, a couple ways to see kind of just, you know, for whatever reason, he didn't see the guy, or, you know, he was thinking he had the next guy, but the guy's making a tackle, whereas that's his job to kind of make that contact. And if anybody knows, if you want to run the ball successfully, like I say, first of all, you have to know where you're going, know what you're doing. But a big part of that is having a tight end that you could just count on, pin his hand in the ground, and get some movement on some guys, whether it's base block or is it a double team with the tight end. So I'm going to put a challenge out to them to be a little bit better. If you look at Michigan's teams, you know, we always talk about their offensive line and things that they do. They always got one or two tight ends that can just put their hand down and get after some guys. Same thing with Notre Dame. They have been having great tight ends over the last couple of years. Those guys, you could just line up regular formation. We don't have a special guy coming in to block. But the guys that we play, we put them in that position, they get the job done. So I put a challenge out to them to see if they can kind of step up a little bit more with that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Cham. I would probably say that it's a self-scouting problem to fix. Like, is it a problem? I mean, if I'm Indiana, if I'm Tom Allen, I'm heating that boy up. This is first start. He's coming out of a competition. I'm going to put him in a position where he can't identify the mic. I think that was a great scheme. I think it was a great schematics that Indiana had versus our offense. Now, I think Ryan Day, what people don't understand is that he really coached a great game. by responding that way, being able to lock it in, try and figure it out, and just say, hey, man, we just going to stay in this big personnel. We got to block these guys. We're going to figure it out. So if we can figure this out and figure out plays out of this personnel or having to protect the offense in seven-man, six-man protection, and then still find our explosives, I think it comes down to, like B saying, those film sessions and just being able to say, hey, guys, we're going to see a lot of this year. So we got to figure this out, and we got to come together. And sometimes, Chim, you got to just, if it's ugly, you know, it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it. But you got to watch the ugly ones. You got to watch the ugly ones so that you can fix it and fix it now because you got 2 weeks.
That brings us to the quarterback, right? So there's a lot of talk about, you know, the two quarterbacks, but only one of them really got a chance to really show what he can do. And I want to go to you, DeVere. What do you think, you know, what was your take on the game from a quarterback standpoint? What do you see that we can improve, and what do you think we do moving forward at that position? Yeah,
totally honest. I'm a guy that was in the Devin Brown camp out of training camp. I thought that
Chin was too.
I'll be honest. I thought that he had like the upside of like a CJ Stroud. Like he's a gunslinger. I mean, I've gone to practice. I've seen him throw the ball. And I thought like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, man, like I want to see Marvin eat. I want to see a book, man. We got the best room in receivers, blah, blah, blah. But then as I was watching the game, and I kind of was like, man, if I was Day, I know that I need to beat Michigan. I know that I need to win. You know, you're judged on playoffs. You're judged on, you know, beating Michigan and going and winning a national championship, bottom line. So if I have that opportunity to pick a quarterback to where I know turnovers aren't going to be a thing, I know he's not going to get out of character, get off rhythm, get off schedule, I think I saw why he picked Kyle McCord. He makes the safe play. He makes the safe read. I think his interception is a fixable thing. I think the ball kind of sailed, you know, and that's fine. And CJ Stroud had picks. Justin Fields had picks. You know, all those guys threw interceptions too. But I kind of see his psyche now and what he was saying. He was like, well, y'all know like I know, like you can get in big personnel and run the ball down anybody's throats and really take pass opportunities when you need to. It's safe. I call it dink and dunk. But it's comfortable. It's something that you can win games with. And I think we got comfortable winning games in the sexiest fashion that you can win them in, you know, in the craziest fashion you can win them, throwing the ball. I think Marvin had 14 targets in a Notre Dame game last year. That's absolutely insane. And so it's just like, I see why Day made his pick. Now, I want to still see Devin in a game like Western Kentucky, in a game like Youngstown State. But I don't think it's fair to evaluate him if he goes out there and has a great game. You know, like if he has a great game versus these teams, well, he wasn't playing against anybody. You know what I mean? So that's not fair to Kyle. Yeah. I'll be honest, y'all. I think we're gonna see both quarterbacks all season. Like, I just don't think it's gonna be one just sent the bench because you got to give Devin a shot, and Day has to keep his word to the Buckeye faithful.
That's the thing. He has to keep his word. Like, the question is this question of why do we keep making this a competition? Why do you know we see that Kyle McCord is out there? He's a guy, but the reason it's a competition is because Ryan Day said it was a competition, right? Like, he came out and said, like, I don't know exactly who the guy is. I'm leaning towards this guy. I'm choosing this guy. But they both have earned the right to play. So if he said they earned the right to play, then we need to see them both, right? Now, I feel like I need to see them both because you're not sure who should be the guy. Well, let me see who the guy should be. And I'll give my perspective on it, right? But, I thought McCord did enough to, like, if he's the guy moving forward. So I think there's a formula there for McCord, but, you know, we got to see what else is out there as well.
So, I mean, when we get into this game, though, right, Kyle McCord goes 20 of 33, 239, no touchdown, one interception, right? But we kind of, you know, we watched the game, right? I mean, what, he could have had easily maybe three touchdowns, you know, in that game. Well, could have had two passing, right? He had threw one to Marvin, throw it to him. It's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Marvin made a mistake, stepped out of bounds, right?
Marvin got to squeeze that. Marvin got to squeeze that. Yeah, he got to squeeze that.
The one that comes to mind is the one we talk about with Fleming. Like, he tried to throw, like, almost, he should have threw a backside
in the
end zone to Fleming. Went front side with it, becomes tipped and go out the end zone. And he could have easily have had a walk-in rushing touchdown. He lives, they run like a QB draw. And my man, he's like trying to cut, and he just cuts the wrong way. It was just, that play is funny, but, like, you know, but if he executes those three plays, you know, we're talking about a guy with three touchdowns, and I feel like it's a different tune to McCord. But I'm still like we said, I do want to see Devin Brown play. I'm going to go as far as say, I would like to see they just start Devin Brown against Youngstown State. Just start him. Like, throw him out there. Obviously, Youngstown State is a game we should be able to handle. Put him out there. Just let him play, just so we could kind of, for one, like you say, keep his word, because now we're expecting to see this kid go out there and do some things. And against a Youngstown State, you know, where a team we should win, go out there, let him play, let him have that feeling so we can really see him and try to make an evaluation of what he could do. Because this game against Indiana, it just wasn't it when it comes down to it.
I feel like this, like, when we all got kids and they all going to get their driver's license one day. You're not going to let that kid drive to Chicago, Chim. Week one.
Right.
You go say, man, you can go to Circle K and back. That's it. Like, hey, okay, you did that. Okay, now you can go to school and back. Okay, you can go to your friend's house on the weekend. I'll let you drive to prom. And I just feel like that's the same when you're talking about Ohio State's the keys to this Ferrari. With CJ could have drove to Cali and back. CJ was making his own calls. I don't think a quarterback can run a two-minute offense by themselves, knowing the concepts, being able to say, hey, y'all got spot over here, y'all got double slant, and I know which side to read. Y'all got high-low over here, y'all got in-breaking routes back here. We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Not there yet. So I think it was a style that they chose, and he didn't want to lose a guy. Like, he didn't want to lose a quarterback mentally by really saying, go out there and be like CJ, and he just plays terrible. Now you got to go with number two. And now you might have lost the guy mentally for the rest of the year, lost his confidence. I thought they did a great job of keeping confidence in both the guys, keeping some light into Devin, saying, hey, you still got opportunity to play. Kyle played well. Bottom line, my job is to win football games. We won. Let's get out of Bloomington and let's fix this. So I'm a Day guy, man. I just think I really like Ryan Day as a person. I think he's really revolutionized Ohio State. The things he's had to go through in reference to how he handled and navigated COVID. You know, you think about the portal. You think about NIL and how he's handled, like, all of these things seamlessly, and then just how he's been able to, like, even implement mental health. I mean, this dude is really a GM. He's at a GM level with all of the stuff he has to handle. He's handling an NIL salary cap. I don't want to throw shade on Woody, but I mean, Woody looks like a little league coach, because all he's talking about is handoff and pop pass. They got a lot to deal with. I thought they did a good job handling all of this, and I'm happy we won. I'm excited to see what else we got in the bag, for sure.
Right. Well, hey, with DeVere, thank you for joining us on this show.
Appreciate it, man. No problem, y'all.
You gave us some style, some flavor this week, man. We appreciate that, man. Kudos to you, man. We're really big ups. We want to say thanks for tuning in, for believing Buckeyes, and how we always end every show, as you probably already know, with an OH.
IO.
And go Bucks, baby. Go Bucks. 1-0. 1-0. 1-0.